I want to help you today. I know that oftentimes when we come to church, we come not just to praise God, but we come because, Lord, I need help. Got to make some decisions. Got some family issues. Got some personal issues. And God wants to bless you. Oh, He wants to bless you. There's nothing that God delights in more than blessing you. But one of the ways He wants to bless you is through His church. The church is the body of Christ. God wants to bless you, but again, a large part of it is going to be His body. The people sitting next to you, in front of you, and behind you, you may think, well, the people behind me, they're funny looking. But they think the same of the people in front of them, so that's okay. But the point is, we're family. Family overlooks, families forgive, families work together, families serve together. And in that we find strength, so much strength. When a church is in unity, God can use it to accomplish almost anything. Following the resurrection of Jesus, the disciples spent days praying in an upper room until they were in unity. And then the Holy Spirit descended. Great things happened. In our nation today, we are concerned because we're not seeing so much unity, but disunity. Everyone wanting to stand in their corner and point fingers at everybody else and what's wrong with them and what they can do to become like they are. We need unity. But unity is only good when it's for the right purpose. Now, I know I have some history buffs in here today. I'm going to give you the names of several nations and see if you recognize who they are. Germany, or let me think 1940s, okay? Germany, Italy, Japan, Hungary, Romania, Bulgaria. All of these nations were in unity. Do you know what we call them? The Axis powers of evil that were trying to overrun the globe. On the other hand, the United States, Great Britain, France, Belgium, Denmark, Greece, the Soviet Union, Canada, Australia, even China, they were in unity as the Allies fighting to defeat the Axis powers. You see, unity without God in the midst of it is going to create conflict no matter what we do. We as a church or the body of Christ, we want to be unified, but always for the right reason and always for the right purpose. And I know when we talk about unity, when we talk about serving, when we talk about esteeming others above ourself, I could almost hear some of you let out a sigh, almost as if saying, we're going to walk down this road today. But I want to tell you something. Until you learn to put others before yourself, until you learn that it's not about you, until you begin to invest your time and your energies into others, you're going to find life is miserable. Because as long as you're focused on yourself, you're never going to have enough. You're not going to get everything on your wish list. Everyone's not going to be to you like they think you should be. James Dobson, professional speaker, counselor, Christian author, he said one day in counseling, a young woman had come to him and she was down, discouraged, everything in her life was going wrong. He said she just found fault with everything that was going on around her. And she wondered what could she do about her situation. And he said, I'm going to put you in touch with someone in our church. And they're going to find you a place to serve. She said, I really don't want to serve. I just need help. He said, I know, but this is the first step. They put this young woman serving with some pregnant teenagers going through some real difficult times and put her serving with them. He said when he met with her again in a couple of weeks, she had a totally different attitude. Instead of talking about herself and how bad things were, she began to talk about what she was doing for others. And she began to talk about them and how things were looking up for them. She had finally learned that when you focus on yourself, there is no joy, there is no happiness. Everything that comes that makes you smile is fleeting. But when you focus out and you focus on serving God and you focus on serving His family and you focus on serving those outside of His family, you begin to find what we talked about last Sunday. Peace. God's peace. Shalom. The person who lives for themselves will never experience that wonderful peace that the Jews called shalom. The people who wake up every day and wondering what someone's going to do for me will never experience shalom. It's when we understand that it's about serving that we put ourselves in place for God to bless us. Because you see, in serving others, not only does it change them, but it changes you. With that in mind, if I've got several scriptures I want to share with you. The first one's in Romans 15, 5 through 6. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had. So that with one mind and one voice, you may glorify the God and Father of your Lord Jesus Christ. Did you catch that? One mind, one voice. Why? That we might glorify the God of our Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we do that, the Word says, we bring God glory. And if you put a smile on His face, He's just going to want to do for you. How many people here have grandchildren? Could I see your hands? Aren't they just the delight of your life? Wow. You just, especially when they're small, you just want to do for them. You want to buy them stuff, don't you? You want to take them places. You want to feed them ice cream when the mom says, oh, no, no, don't give them ice cream. You want to give them ice cream. Your love just overflows. That's the way God is toward us. His love just overflows, and He's waiting for an opportunity to lavish you with His love and with His mercy. But as long as you're playing that game, well, it's me first, Lord. My wants, my needs. He holds back his blessings. But as soon as you start saying, God, strengthen me that I might help someone. God, use me so that I can go do this for that family across the street. I believe God just opens up the windows and begins to pour out his blessing upon us. One mind, one voice as a church. Five simple points. First thing we have to do, using an acronym, right, Ginger? Acrostic. This is an acrostic. Uplift. English is not my strength. We want to uplift each other. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in the power, in your power, to act. You see, to uplift others, we must focus on them instead of ourselves. Here today, we've got some happy people here today. We've got some people who are just, life is good, job's good, doctor, everything's good. But we've got some people here today who are hurting. I mean hurting. We've got some people here today battling addictions, and it's about to get the best of them. We've got some people here today who've had some family crisis. It's about to get them. Those are the ones I know about. Oftentimes when we come to church, we come with a burden that is so heavy. And we're just praying that somehow that burden be lifted off of us. And God wants to lift it. But do you know how he lifts it? He gets some of you together and say, go lift your burden. Go be there for her. Stand in the gap. I tell you something I love to see is when church is over and we've got people mingling out, to look over and see a group over here or a group back here praying together, ministering to each other. We lift each other up because sometimes life is hard. Just looking around here, yesterday was a most eventful day. Some of you know that Michael and Aaliyah were married yesterday. Michael's father has been in the hospital and is still in the hospital. He could not come to the wedding. So we went down to the hospital yesterday morning at 9 o'clock and married them. What we did here last night was the public ceremony. There were a number of us that gathered together in these with gloves and gowns as required by the hospital, and they were married. Michael and Aaliyah were married. Here's what their plans were. Their plans were they were going to spend the night in a hotel last night, and today they're going to Houston to their house they just bought to begin their honeymoon. But guess what's happening in Houston? It's flooding, including their house. So here's a young couple, just got married. Everything looks good, and all of a sudden, Dad's in the hospital. Our house in Houston is flooded now. There's water damage. Well, life sometimes throws people curves. But I tell you this, they were so loved on at the hospital. cared for and valued. And for those that were here earlier this morning in the church with Violet, and you see, it's never about us. The church is tempted to adopt the world's values. And the world's values today are simple: complaining, self-centeredness, and finding fault with others. When instead God calls us to build each other up. I was surprised last night, and Connie kind of explained this to me. I did not get this from the wedding last night. It was kind of a Beauty and the Beast theme. How many people got that from the wedding? Okay, several of you did. I did not get that. But I tell you what surprised me before the bride came down the aisle. There was a special in music. And then I see the doors open and Aaliyah has in her hand the microphone where she's been singing. She puts it down. I don't know what their plans are, but if any of you feel like, I believe they had a cash tree at the reception last night, if any of you would like to bless them and give them a special offer, because I know they have flood insurance, but it's not going to cover everything. If anyone would like to bless them, I think it'd be a wonderful thing to do. And let me, common sense, here's something that you can all do. When someone does something for you, thank them. If your Sunday school teacher, when they finish teaching, thank them. And learn to be specific with compliments. Where's Amy? Amy's over here. I loved Amy's song. Amy has a very good presence in front of people. When Amy sings and the song blesses you, and you see her in the hall, don't just say, "Hey, Amy, enjoyed your special." But just say, "Amy, that spoke to me. Amy, that really encouraged me." I'm telling you, it makes you want to try harder. Makes you want to try harder when someone says something you do blesses them. Number two, we need each other. All do we need each other? Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. I remember back a number of years ago when the Dallas Cowboys were winning Super Bowls, and they had a running back named Emmitt Smith. Remember him? I remember he missed several games. And you know why he missed them? They called it a turf toe. Remember his turf toe? I don't understand what it meant, but some way by twisting and turning on the turf, he messed up his toe. Now, this man is muscles on top of muscles, speed emasculated. But yet, when his toe got bad, he couldn't play. Everybody in the body of Christ is valuable. All of you are. I don't know what your gift is, but if you'll ask God, He'll begin to show you. Or if you need to, I got some stuff that could help you figure out what you get. But we can all serve. The body works together. Now, my wife here keeps our granddaughter once a week. And I'll admit, our granddaughter, sometimes when you pick her up, this is a healthy little girl here. Healthy little girl. Ginger began to complain about her arm and wrist hurting her. And she finally was diagnosed at the doctor with thumb tendonitis. Ever heard of that one? So her thumb is hurt. But I'm beginning to think she's playing it a little bit and milking it a little bit. She's cleaning some dishes and, Ken, I can't rinse this out. I can't put the sheets on the bed. But I tell you this, she's being honest with me. One little thing that hurts you hurts the whole body and hampers it. We need you. We need you serving. Lord God created you and gifted you to serve. And when you serve again, He blesses you. We need each other. Christians were never intended to live a life apart from community. When Jesus died on the cross, He birthed His church. If you will look through the New Testament, Acts on is about the church. The local church, the establishing of local churches, and what should be happening in the local churches as the local church becomes the body of Christ. The early church, the local church, they met each other's needs, while at the same time suffering and being persecuted. Did you know that the early church turned the world upside down for Christ? It was said of the early church, behold how much they love each other. The church, this body, is to be a place of unity and love and the expression of that love in serving. And when we do that, we represent Christ. We need each other. We cannot do it alone. Sunday mornings here, I walk over about 7, and I spend time in prayer and going over the message for the day. I'm never the first one here. Jim Barham, who, by the way, is improving and is going to be in the Christian Care Center in Mesquite in a rehab, always beat me here. He'd get here about 6:15, 6:20 in the morning. And I would come in. He'd have all the doors unlocked and the lights on, have coffee on. I'd come in and get me some coffee. Well, he can't do it right now, so now it's Wanda and Euford doing it. Now, I love Wanda and Euford, and I hope I'm not going to embarrass them, but Euford is 90. Wanda's 89. Friends, they could use some younger bodies helping them a little bit. But I know what you're thinking. Well, Pastor, if I helped them, I'd have to do without sleep. You mean sacrifice a little for the Lord? What a novel idea. God might want me to give up something I want to do for Him. What an amazing concept. That's what serving is. If it doesn't cost you, you're getting nothing out of it. Nothing. We need each other. And we spend way too much time thinking that we are serving because we are what my dad used to call piddling at it. You know what piddling is? Piddling is when you just kind of just act like you're doing something, but you're really not. There's a story in the New Testament. I think it all comes home. Jesus is in the local synagogue. He's at the receipt of custom, that would be a place that you could stand and watch people come by and give their offerings. Now, here at this church, when you give an offering, it's taken, it's counted, and then it goes to the treasurer. She takes and records it so she can give you a list at the end of the year. I have no idea who gives what. The board doesn't know who gives what. That's between you and God. But in the Jewish tradition, Jesus is sitting at the receipt of custom, and some of his disciples are there too. And they're watching these people come by and give offerings, okay? Well, a couple of guys came by that were loaded, okay? You know what I mean? Loaded. And they dropped in some pretty hefty offerings. I mean, have you ever known those people in church when they have an offering, they write that check and make certain the people sitting next to them can see it, or they open up those $100 bills and fan them out before they put them in the envelope? By the way, the word tells us that's the only blessing that you're going to get if you're doing it for show. That's it. But Jesus is at the receipt of custom. These rich guys come in and drop offerings. The disciples kind of, hey, did you see that? Did you see that wad of cash? Did you see that gold they dropped in? They said, Jesus, did you see that? He said, yeah, I saw that. About that time, a widow came through. And she dropped in a couple of coins. Jesus looks at his disciples and says, did you see that? Yeah, but that wasn't much. Jesus said, the others gave of their abundance. She gave all she had. God's not so concerned with just what you do, but what could you do? What could you do if you committed yourself to serve Christ and love Him the way He served and loved you? We spend too much time thinking that we're being faithful when in fact we have not got down to the substance of giving until it cost us. Number three, that we need to invest in each other. Need to tell you the story here. Paul and Barnabas are a missionary team. They're going out preaching the gospel, planting churches. One of their team members is John Mark. He's a young guy and a young Christian. John Mark's going out with them. But for some reason, John Mark decided to go back home. Paul said of John Mark, I'm through with him. If he can't stick with us, I'm through with him. Barnabas says, oh no, Paul. There's some good there. There's some gold there. We just need to be patient with him. So here the verse says, Barnabas took Mark, John Mark, and sailed for Cyprus. Paul chose Silas and left. So instead of one missionary team, now there's two. Paul and Silas, Barnabas and John Mark. By the way, do you enjoy the Gospel of Mark? Barnabas was called an encourager, the son of encouragement. When the Apostle Paul himself was converted, if you recall, he was converted at a time when he was given the task of bringing Christians back captive. Some of them were beaten and some were killed. He was the main prosecutor, the main advocate, bringing them back. Well, when Paul is converted and says, I've converted to Christ, the apostles back in Jerusalem said, we don't trust you, man. This is just a ruse that you can use to come in and capture us. But Barnabas comes to the apostles. Barnabas says, I know Paul. I know of his conversion. I've spent time with him, guys. He's genuine. He's genuinely humbled himself and received Christ. You need to let him come meet with you. Barnabas was always standing in the gap for somebody. He stood in the gap for Paul. Now he's standing in the gap for John Mark. Who are you standing in the gap for? Who are you trying to help? Several things that you could do. If you know somebody is struggling, pull them aside, pray with them. If there's somebody here you don't know, get to know them. Say, hey, are you busy? Let's go out to eat. If they seem like they're trying to grow in their faith, say, would you be interested in us spending a little time together each week and study the scripture? Invest in others. It's when we invest in others that we find that God can bless us. You see, individuals need opportunities to grow, pray with them, eat with them, study with them, serve with them. And you know something else that you could do? You could do this today. You could do this today. When we say the final amen, don't rush out so quick. Find somebody here that you don't know and introduce yourself. Maybe just mingle with some people, but maybe if you know someone's going through a hard time, go up and just visit with them a minute. Unity, the body. We need to be together. Fill out that survey. Help you find some areas and places you can serve. Number four, trust each other. I'll hit this one quick. But his followers took Paul by night, put him in a basket, and let him down through an opening in the wall. Remember the story from Sunday school? Paul is in the city of Damascus, preaching the gospel. And as Paul found everywhere he went, he angered the enemy and they came after him. Well, in the city of Damascus, they're looking for Paul. They're wanting to drag him into court and have him executed. At this point, it's the Jews pursuing him. They want to have him stoned to death. And they've got all the exits covered. They've got all the ways out of the city covered. Paul can't get out. But somebody came up with this thought. Let's get a basket. They must have been pretty big baskets, don't you think? Let's get a basket and Paul can get in the basket. And then we'll tie rope to the basket and we'll let him down over the wall where they're not guarding. And we'll lower him down. Estimates say it was probably around 18 to 20 feet at least down from the walled city. I wonder, when someone came up to Paul and said, we've got an idea. We want you to get in this basket. And why? We're going to let you down over the wall. Who's going to let me down over the wall? Wouldn't you be wondering? Who's going to let me down over this wall? Well, we're going to use Mitch and Jimmy, they're going to let you down over the wall. Do you think they can? Yeah. Okay. So, they let him down. In business sometimes now, a group in a business will go to an event that is planned to build teamwork. One of the things they will do is what's called a trust fall. How many of you have been involved in a trust fall? Any? One, two, about four or five. is very simple. You stand on the edge of this table, okay? You climb up, you stand on a table, on the edge of the table, and you get four of your friends back behind you. And all that you do is lean back. You lean back, but you've got to trust that they're going to catch you before you hit the ground. You've got to trust. I'm telling you, the people here will catch you. They will love you and they will be there for you. If they don't catch you, they'll take you to the ER. But probably catch you. They tried to catch you. They tried. We trust through sharing what is going on in our lives. And we trust through shared experiences. Years ago, I read an article that had this quote in it. The best fellowship is in the foxhole. I can't help but think that soldiers who have served together in combat, either within a foxhole with someone shooting at them, or maybe behind a wall with shots being fired all around them, I can't help but feel that that builds a friendship that is lifelong. Did you know when we serve together, we build relationships? It's one thing to come and sit in Sunday school, and you should do that because you learn and you grow. But when you serve together, you have things to laugh about. You have a shared up. Years ago, we did a guy's project. We went to the other side of Terrell, Mississippi, and we helped a friend dig a foundation for his home. Some of you know and remember Craig Verner. Several of us went. I did not know Bobby that good at the time, but Bobby was one of those that went with us to dig this foundation. Craig had no equipment. He had shovels. I'm not a big fan of shovels, by the way. Well, so we start digging a footing. And Bobby, just like he is now, that with all the landscaping he's doing, he's passionate, he's going at it. And we look over at Bobby, and he's beet red. And he's kind of swaying a little bit. And Bobby's about to go now. And we gave him a hard time. The name we had for Bobby back then was, because it was very physical, was Rippling Bobby Bond with all them muscles he had. But you know what? It builds a relationship when you can laugh together, when you can cry together. We need to trust each other. And finally, we need to yield to each other. This is Paul's advice to the church at Philippi. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Living today in a society that wants to make much of the individual and tell you what you are entitled to and what you're rights are, we have to focus on Christ to remember his expectations, that we are to have the same mindset that Christ had. Though equal with God, he did not use that to gain his advantage, but that instead he humbled himself and became obedient to the cross. We must get ourselves out of the picture. I don't think that we as Christians, and I mean this figuratively, not literally, but figuratively, I guess we need to quit taking so many selfies of ourselves, because it ain't about us. We must follow Christ's example of humility, which was the cross. We must see others as God sees them, which is valuable. We must make decisions and take actions that have unity in the body. Bottom line, God loves you. He wants to bless you with blessings you probably don't even understand. But He cannot do it until you position yourself to receive His blessings. And to do that, you've got to forget about yourself. And you've got to look to Him, and you've got to look to others. Our unity doesn't come because of a name or if we have a bunch of t-shirts the same. Our unity comes because we are one in Christ with one mission, as Paul said, one mind and one voice. And as we learn together, as we grow together, as we serve together, and God blesses this church, to bless the church, He blesses you. Do you understand that? He blesses you. Let me conclude with the verse that we shared in Sunday school this morning. Romans 12:1. The Apostle Paul has been talking about the church, and he's talking about this thing of us being the body and all of us working for each other. And this is how he phrases it. He says, I beg you. Or actually in the King James, he says, beseech you, but we don't use the word beseech a lot. I beg you, I plead with you. Give your bodies as a living sacrifice. In other words, not about you anymore. It's not God, what can you do for me, but God, I want to do for you. I give my body a living sacrifice. Much like the song Amy sang about this morning. He says, and in view of God's mercy, the mercy at the cross, it is the right thing for us to give. Does that make sense to you? Christ says, I love you so much, I'm going to give myself as a sacrifice. And we come back and we say to Him, Christ, I love you so much, I'm going to be a living sacrifice. What would you have me do? When we develop that mindset, when we develop that unity, all of us saying together, God, what would you have me do? It's going to be amazing what God will do in us, through us, and in you. Let's pray together. Father, Lord God, together we can make a difference. We can make a difference in our families, in our neighborhoods, Lord, in our world. But Lord, we know it's never going to happen till we get serious. And we decide that we are willing. To become what you've created us to be. Have your way, Father. For that young Christian here, Father, that's new in their faith, Lord, just may they bask in your love. May they feel loved by the body. And may they begin to find simple places where they can serve. For those, Father, we've been in the body for a while, but we've become awfully self-centered. We begin to wonder why the church isn't doing what we think it should do to meet our needs. God, forgive us. And help us instead to focus on Christ and those around us. Father, work in me. Work in me, Lord, that I might be what you created me to be. And work in us, Father, that we as your body can glorify you. By being in unity together, serving in Christ's name. Amen. I like to always give people something to do. What I'm going to ask for you to do is to take that survey. There may be nothing on there that jumps up and grabs you. There may be nothing on there that this is my passion. Maybe you have an idea, write it down. Maybe you say, well, I'll serve wherever I'm needed. Write that. Drop it in the offering plate or put it on the information table, because we want to serve. We want to serve. But we need you to do it.